It was 2007 when Dr. Amanda Lotz of the University of Michigan wrote a book. It was entitled "The Television Will Be Revolutionized." The professor of communication studies predicted that eventually TV would move from the broadcast network format we all grew up with to an online subscription format. And if you're one of the fans of the series Arrested Development, you're celebrating the resurrection of that wildly popular series, which began on Fox, was canceled by Fox, but has now been revived by Netflix in, you guessed it, an online subscription format. Amanda Lotz, University of Michigan Professor of Communication Studies, joins us now in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, in your 2007 book, you wondered if video on demand viewers would be willing to buy a subscription to Arrested Development. I guess you can wonder no more.
Well, right. It's still a case where they're not having to subscribe specifically for Arrested Development. It's part of a broader package. Right. But it was the kind of show at the time that there was clearly a strong fan base that exhibited the kind of passion that would be needed to actually have people pay specifically for a show. We just didn't have the infrastructure in terms of a distribution to create that opportunity at the time.
And it's quite interesting that such an avid, rabid fan base wasn't enough to convince Fox to keep that program on the air.
Well, if you go back and look at the numbers at the time, Fox was actually surprisingly patient with the show.
Oh, okay.
It's more the difference of what the Fox business model was at the time. And so as a broadcaster, that model's built entirely on getting people to watch the show. And it is a specific show. But the thing that I was trying to point out with the kind of back-of-the-envelope tabulation that I did in the book was that it wouldn't take much even for that small audience. It was an audience of between 4 and 5 million. Mm-hmm. If even though that wasn't a big enough audience for Fox to sell to advertisers, it was a big enough audience if they would just pay a dollar or two per episode to maintain the production.
Now, Netflix broke ground in offering its original series with the Kevin Spacey vehicle House of Cards, and I will just say I am crazy about this show. And unlike Arrested Development that had a built-in pack of fans ready to jump, it was unknown stuff. And of course, as we know, offered by Netflix in one huge chunk. Here you go, folks, all 13 episodes available at the same moment, just like they did with Arrested Development. Was Netflix the only provider, in your view, that could have done this at this point?
Let's see. HBO could release Game of Thrones, the entire season on one night or over a few nights, and then leave it up on demand or on their HBO Go platform. And the broadcast networks, there's nothing that's actually technologically preventing them from releasing things this way. As House of Cards debuted, Netflix got a lot of criticism from the establishment. You know, how could you do this? Instead of you want to drive people back to you week after week or month after month, because someone could just subscribe for the month, watch House of Cards, and then drop their subscription. And Netflix was willing to bet that they had enough other value in the service that they offered that that wasn't going to happen. So technologically, there's no reason why that doesn't happen. It really just has to do with what the broadcasters are still trying to do is encourage us to watch week after week, more regularly, more often. And so giving us all the content we want at one time doesn't quite work with that model.
And what effect do you think this whole format and this idea of an online subscription format, how does this impact the writing and the content of a show?
Well, Arrested Development is such an experiment with that. And in some of the interviews with Mitch Hurwitz, I've heard him sort of talk about the fact that he was able to keep that in mind and that viewers would be able to watch a number of episodes, that they could watch them in any order. They could rewatch them in any order. At any time, they could move back and forth among the episodes. And I think, you know, this is the first writer who's really had that opportunity. And so I think in time, we'll see more creatives thinking about the opportunities that different kinds of distribution allow. I think one place that we've seen a sense of this already is the different kind of things you hear creators for cable say about what it's like to write and produce for cable as opposed to broadcast.
So, for example, Mad Men.
Sure. So Mad Men, the idea of the 13-episode season, the fact that you don't have to tell sort of 21 hours of narrative over a season, that's one of the things that cable has pioneered. The premium cable networks that don't have commercials, that you don't have to write to a commercial break every 10 minutes or so. It's also something that's quite freeing for writers. And when you're not – when you're writing episodes that are actually an hour instead of episodes that are 45 minutes, that also is a difference in the kind of story you can tell and how much you can fit in and what you can expect viewers to know and remember.
What we're talking about now, this idea of moving toward an online subscription format, what does that mean if you are sitting there in the offices of ABC, CBS, and NBC?
I think the big challenge is having any idea what the timeline for these transitions will be. Mm-hmm. So right now, we have early adopter behavior. It's not a mass audience. Netflix isn't about 20 million homes. It's certainly something that they're watching and they're concerned about. But the other thing is keeping in mind sort of the difference between what a broadcast network produces. In the course of a day, a broadcast network produces a morning newscast. The affiliates typically do the lunch news. Mm-hmm. They do their evening newscast. Then they have the prime time that we're familiar with, and they have the nighttime news. And so that's a lot of hours of original programming each and every day. And we're talking about Netflix, and they have created, in the case of Arrested Development, they created 15 half hours, right?
Period.
Of programming.
Not a day.
Right.
Yeah.
So in many ways, it is an entirely different phenomenon. And it's this question of when the audience is going to move. And even there are different kinds of programming that lend itself, like the shows that we've been talking about that have very specific audiences. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest show forms that continues to gather a mass audience on television is sports. And sports, sports doesn't work as well in that model. Sports is something that people still watch live. They sit there through the commercials. And so that older economic model supports sports very, very well.
Look at the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl, the experiment that CBS ran this season, it's not really an experiment anymore, but with March Madness and making it available, you can stream all of the games on all of your devices, and their streaming numbers were way up, and their audience for the on the regular TV set games was also up. So I think what the networks are seeing is that even though originally there was a fear of cannibalization, that these new devices and letting people watch in other places would take away from that linear audience, instead, if you make television more convenient, it actually just expands your audience.
Now, have Arrested Development was released last
week? Memorial Day Sunday.
Yes. So how have you had any sense or what's the sense of success?
Well, Netflix is guarding that data quite closely,
as
they do. And in truth, that's the other advantage that Netflix has in this. And Arrested Development was perhaps less risky for them because they have all sorts of data about who has watched those previous seasons. So why did they pick Arrested Development out of all of the other things they could develop?
Yeah.
They saw the kind of fan base. They saw what people who watch this also watch these other kind of shows. So the how many question isn't as much of an issue for a subscription service. What they're mainly concerned with is that people continue to subscribe. And certainly something like Arrested Development is going to drive new subscribers. So what they're watching is there a bump in their subscriptions this month? And does that bump go away in the next few months? And that's really probably far more important to them than, how many people actually watch this particular show.
Amanda Lotz, University of Michigan Professor of Communication Studies. Always happy to talk TV. Thanks for coming in and talking with us today.
Thank you.